This is always our pleasure at 7 o'clock on Mondays when we're lucky. It's time to talk to Joe DeGenova, legal analyst, former U.S. attorney to the District of Columbia. Hello, Joe. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian.
All right, I want to start out by the sanctuary, very much a lot of talk this morning about the sanctuary cities bill that the governor of Texas has signed into law, passed by the House, passed by the Senate, signed by the governor, says you can't have sanctuary cities. Now, is this going to withstand constitutional scrutiny in your mind?
Oh, I don't see any problem with it. The Texas legislature has enacted a law, which he has signed, and it tells local law enforcement officials that they must honor federal detainers against illegal immigrants who are in their jails, even after they have served any sentence. Two of the local police chiefs in Austin and Dallas, very, very liberal Democratic cities, object to it. They say it's going to waste resources. These are all new arguments. These people have been doing this for 50 years. They've been honoring detainers. I don't quite understand what all these new arguments are all about, that they're going to waste resources. They don't have time to do this. There's nothing for them to do. They're notified. They hold the people. They've already got them held. It's really quite ridiculous. But it is part of an effort to undermine legal immigration and to try and obviously thwart the will of President Trump.
And Joe, one of the complaints about this law that the Texas governor signed is it would allow the police to ask people about their immigration status during lawful detention, but even for minor infractions like jaywalking.
Who cares? If they're here illegally, we have a right to know it. I don't care what they're doing. They should be able to ask somebody that even if they haven't broken the law. You don't have a right to be here if you're here illegally. The asking of that question is not an affront. It is an absolute duty of the people who are responsible for protecting our cities and our borders to ask that type of question. I cannot for the life of me think why somebody thinks it is a bad thing to inquire of someone when they are in custody for whatever the offense, whether or not what is your legal status in this country. Again, you either have borders or you don't, and if you don't have borders, you are not a country.
I want to ask you about this Judicial Watch case that's been ongoing. They've been trying to get at the real truth behind what happened in Benghazi. And there was an email that was redacted and withheld and that had to do with the president's call to the Egyptian and Libyan leaders just days after Benghazi. And one presumes, you know, it would be very telling to see what he was telling other world leaders about what we knew about the attack in Benghazi and whether or not it matched up with their narrative that they were feeding the American public, that it was indeed, you know, something to do with a video on YouTube. However, what's interesting is that Judicial Watch is still in court as recently as late last week, fighting with the Justice Department. Why would the Trump Justice Department, under the guidance of Jeff Sessions, still be fighting to protect this information? That one could understand why the Obama people would, but why would the Trump people do it?
Well, first of all, Trump doesn't have very many people in any of the sub-cabinet positions in either the Department of State or the Department of Justice. We just got a Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, the other day. No one is in charge of these agencies except the civil servants and the holdovers from the last administration. That's number one. Number two, it is true that throughout the history of presidential power, departments of justice and state have attempted to protect communications by the president from disclosure in court, except in compelling circumstances. Remember when Donald Trump made his calls to various foreign leaders and then the contents of those calls were leaked illegally and criminally? People were pretty furious about that. This is the same type of call that President Obama made after the Benghazi attack on September the 11th. Actually, the president's calls were made on September the 12th. Within the 24-hour time frame of the attack. The difference here is that this is a major event in which four Americans were killed, and knowing what the President of the United States told two foreign leaders in key countries about the reason for the assault and what he knew would be very, very important at this point. And so withholding them seems to me to be just utterly silly. And I'm sure if the matter is reviewed by current political leadership in both departments, they will agree to its release. The judge has ordered its release, Amy Berman, the federal judge. Mm-hmm. So unless the department appeals, it will be released.
So is it a left-hand, right-hand thing? Does the Justice Department just not know? Does the Attorney General just not know all the cases that are still ongoing out there and what the positions of the Justice Department is?
That can certainly be the case.
Wow.
Given the fact that he doesn't have all of his troops there. But again, we need to know more about this and whether or not the Attorney General does approve of invoking this privilege not to disclose presidential communications. We know nothing about that. Nothing's been said in court about that. All the department is arguing in court is that these are documents that have traditionally not been released, and they're objecting to the release. And the judge is saying, no, this is not covered by the statute, and I'm going to release it. Again, we need to have the department say, the Justice Department to state categorically whether or not it favors this disclosure.
You know, and we had the Huma Abedin emails come out late last week as well.
Right.
More of those came out. And it's just this slow drip, drip, drip of more and more information and more evidence of what appears to be wrongdoing by the previous administration.
Sure.
Are we finally going to hear a hue and cry from people for Jeff Sessions to reopen this and to address this and maybe for some justice to be done?
I don't anticipate that Jeff Sessions is going to reopen any of these cases, even though it is legally justified to do so, because I think they feel that the most important thing is for the information to come out so people can make historical judgments about the types of lies that were told by Obama and Ben Rhodes and Susan Rice and Hillary Clinton and John Brennan and all the people who were involved in covering up information about all of this stuff. As a result of the unmasking investigations which are being conducted by the intelligence committees, I expect that much, if not all, of this information will come out. The fact that Susan Rice has declined to testify about this voluntarily means, obviously, she's going to be subpoenaed to testify. There's no way she can avoid testifying.
All right. Very quickly, this Rockville High School case, the charges of rape have been dropped against a 17 and an 18-year-old accused of raping a 14-year-old girl. They say the evidence just didn't add up. Any thoughts about that particular case?
Yes, the two illegal immigrants who were here, 18 and 17 years old, had the case dropped because the Montgomery County State's Attorney reviewed the evidence and said that it did not support the claim that this was non-consensual. According to what I've been told, the videotape of the young woman actually engaging in foreplay with the young man walking into the bathroom. She was not dragged into the bathroom, according to the state's attorney. She had had text messages with them prior discussing sex and exchanging sexual information. It sounded to me like it was a pretty lousy case, and that she had obviously had second thoughts about it later and apparently made up some stuff.
All right. Well, we want to know. Thank you very much, Joe. I greatly appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Joe. Always.